And we're back for another episode of The Last Storm.
What's up,
my
guys?
Name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. Dave from Poo Poo Street. How's it going, bro?
Yes. Love it, man. Good times, dude. I'm doing good, man. After that win last night, I couldn't be better. What a way for these guys to play, Mark. What was that? What was the three-headed monster? What was their total they scored last night?
94 points for Shea, Giddy, and J-Dub combined. 66% shooting from the field.
Damn, dude. Damn.
Bro, it was a dominant effort from the three-headed monster.
It was just unbelievable. I can't get over the way that these guys are playing right now. And I look at it and I say, okay, J-Dub had 15 shots, right? And he had 32 points. He shot 4-for-5 from three-point range. Okay, you had Shea shot 17 shots and 38 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Giddey had 16 shots, okay? And he had 24 points. The difference between Shea, Dort, and J-Dub is the free throws, man. Shea got to the free throw line 19 times last night and hit 17 of them, okay? That is the difference. And if you look at J-Dub, he was able to get to the free throw line 6 times. And I'm telling you guys, when J-Dub increases that and he starts getting this respect and he gets to that level where he's getting 15 free throws a game, okay? And that's going to happen, guys. That's happening very quickly. Then we're talking about J-Dub being in this position to be averaging 30 points a game next year. Next year, guys. Think about this, man.
Dude,
okay, I want to be serious when I say this, okay? J-Dub is one of those guys that we're going to look back at and say, how did we not see this guy as so good as he is, okay? J-Dub, next year, if he finds a way to get to that free throw line averaging 10 to 12 times a game, which I think he can, he will be averaging 28 to 30 points a game.
Damn, bro. You're talking about one of the best second-year players in the history of the game. I mean, there's just been so few players,
dude,
who have come in.
Compare him to any other rookie. The greatest rookie shooting guards. Compare him to those guys. Tell me where he belongs. Dude, tell me where he belongs at this point.
Somebody who did that, you know, John did that, and he wanted to say the best comp is J-Dub to Clyde Drexler. And he compared him to some of the greatest, bro.
That's where we're at, man. Like, I got a message from Chris Turnock. Love this guy from Australia. And he sent me a clip of Larry Bird playing and passing the ball. Just like a 10-minute clip of Larry Bird passing the ball. And he's like, see, this is what I'm telling you guys. And I look at it and I can't help but think, Josh Giddey and Larry Bird. Like, damn. Like, guys, I'm serious right now. Go find a clip on YouTube and go watch a clip of Larry Bird passing the ball. Say, Larry Bird passing the ball. And then see the way he passes the ball and his height and everything else like that. And tell me that doesn't look like Josh, okay? And then you look at Shea and the way that he attacks the hole mid-range, guys. And he looks like fucking Michael Jordan out there. Nobody else has been able to do this, what he is able to do in 20-plus years, guys. Shea is next level. And then you're sitting here and going, wait, J-Dub is one of the greatest shooting guards at this point playing the way he is playing. As a rookie, one of the greatest shooting guards of all time as a rookie. Like, to me, like, I understand people are like, shut the fuck up, Dave. I get that. And I respect you guys for the way that you guys think about the game. But the reality is, what J-Dub is doing right now and the way that he has separated himself since the February, I mean, even January, guys, if you want to just go back to January 1st, the way he has separated himself from the rest of the pack and the draft is so spectacular and so, like, unbelievable that you have to take a step back and say, the first few times that there was this ranking, he was, like, still sitting at that 12th spot, 11th spot, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, he's top three. And then as boom, he keeps on climbing, and everybody's starting to say, maybe rookie of the year, okay? They're not just doing this because J-Dub's having a mediocre season. They're doing this because J-Dub's having such a spectacular January, February, and now March that people are taking a step back and saying, yeah, this dude's unbelievable. And not only that, but if we're talking about the greatest shooting guards in the last 20 years, who would you rather have on your team than J-Dub? He is such the raw talent and doing the craziest things, the way he's dunking the ball. Like, I'm telling you guys, he has to be close to 80 dunks already this year. Okay? What other rookie guard has ever had 80 dunks in a rookie season?
There's not many since I started tracking it.
That's, I mean, what are we talking about here with J-Dub? That's why it gets so crazy when people are like, oh, well, you know, J-Dub's okay. You know, he's all right, but I still wouldn't pick him in front of Paulo. I'm like, what are you like?
Yeah, they don't care about efficiency now.
Like, what are you talking about? J-Dub is the greatest player in this draft. And the reality is if we go back and we were to draft this team again, J-Dub goes number one, Chet goes number two.
Damn.
And that's what it would be because Chet hasn't played yet right now.
Right.
But the Orlando Magic would never pass on J-Dub again. Never. They would look at J-Dub and saying, look at what he's doing his rookie year between January, February, March. Why would we ever pass on a guy that can do this stuff? I mean, steals a game. I mean, he's averaging 2.2 steals a game since January, guys. A rookie is dominating. And the shooting guard, he's playing power forwards on defense. He's playing shooting guards on defense. He's being forced to play against the best players in the league on defense, guys. He's a rookie, and he's holding his own. He's almost a better defender than Dort. And it's mind-boggling, guys, that we have this good of a player, a two-way player on this team, and people aren't willing to admit how good he is. But we're in the midst, by the time he's done with his rookie season, we're in the midst of people taking a step back and saying, yep, Oklahoma City got the next greatest as well.
Dude, and his game is just starting to come on. That's why we just saw a career high for him, 30-plus points, and just dominating and really finding his moments when Shea and Giddy were on the bench and then just really coming on. That's when he started finding his groove, was when Shea was out.
Who can stop him going downhill?
You can't. And he's starting to learn that. That's the thing. He's just starting to realize this, and that's exciting. But then you look at a player like Josh Giddy, 24-9-9. That sounds like LeBron James numbers, bro. But that's like the sideshow, right? Because Shea went out there and put up 38. And like you're saying, he looks like Michael Jordan. So what are we supposed to do, man? I think what we're doing is the right thing, which is we're letting ourselves get hyped up. Because although some people are a little bit nervous, they're like, oh, well, you know, it's nerve-wracking to get, you know, anticipating greatness. The reality is we've been fans of the NBA since the early 90s. And we've never really seen a young group quite like this. And the only thing we can really compare him to is the young group the Thunder had previously. So
no,
if you couldn't get hyped previously.
I think you can compare him to the teams in the 60s, Celtics, 50s and 60s Celtics. I think that's the way that Red Auerbach had learned to draft and develop players. You know, like he was able to bring that to 70s and 80s even too. So like, you know, that's what we're talking about. Like Sam Presti, if you're going to look back in the history of Sam Presti, you're going to be like, oh, okay, well, Sam Presti built one team, two teams, three teams, four. I mean, Sam Presti's got to stay in the game as long as possible, because the reality is when the game's done with him and he's done with the game, he's going to be looked at as one of the greatest GMs of all time, because you can't build teams like he's been able to build without putting him in the same conversations as some of the greats. And
right.
I can't help but think about when Red Auerbach and you know, Jerry West put these teams together, that the great teams together, you know, through the draft and understanding who to draft and who to trade for and all these other things. I can't help but wonder what they were thinking. Like, were these guys the ones that they were like, okay, yeah, these are it, you know? But Sam Presti knows it, dude. Like when Sam Presti picks a player and he's like, this is what it's going to take to develop him. This is what he needs to develop. This is the right people that are going to need to be around him to develop. And then we're going to keep on letting that passion and desire to play come through. Because guess what? I'm looking at this team and I'm saying J-Dub had 0% chance at starting in the beginning of the year with Chet out there. 0% chance with Chet out there. And now I can't even imagine this team playing without J-Dub out there. Right. At all. Like, J-Dub needs to be out there 30-plus minutes a game in order for us to have an opportunity to win games, because he's that next level and so fucking good.
He's so good off the bounce that he's a problem for every team to defend, no matter what point in the game, no matter what, as long as he's being aggressive. And then you see him really expanding into his three-point shot. He shoots it in rhythm. He shoots it a repeatable motion. And so even though he's a rookie, we're looking at it, we're saying, this is the right track record for a player like him to be a really great player, as long as he continues to get opportunities. And guess what? he's in the best position to continue to get those opportunities for as long as possible. So it's hard not to get pumped up, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I know we're not talking about Shea here because Shea came back from injury. So let's just talk about his game, because I felt like the way he played, it was the third quarter. I looked at the score and I said, bro, he scored 36 points. It was shocking to me because it was a quiet 36. Only hit 1 3-point shot. The rest of it was tacking the hole and getting fouled. It was truly spectacular how he put this game together, because really the spotlight was on J-Dub and Giddy at the moment. You know, like, yeah, the people in the stadium knew how much he was scoring, but if you were watching the game, you didn't understand how many he was scoring unless you're looking at the box score, which is phenomenal, because if you're going to have a player that's dropping 30 fucking 8 points and he's like kind of running second fiddle to J-Dub because J-Dub is just dominating the game, you know, like, hey, listen, this is Shea's team. This is Shea's team. And Shea is the best player on this team. He's probably the best player, top three best players in the NBA this year. Okay. For me to look at this and say that, and then say J-Dub, the way he's playing, the two ways, both sides of the ball, the way he is playing and dominating, getting the steals, getting up the court, going downhill, getting two blocks last night. Like, it was crazy, man. That block that he had on Jones on an alley-oop, bro, he climbed the fucking ladder and threw that ball back, right? And then you get Shea getting up there and getting up on the fast break with these guys. He is getting up the court so quickly, and he's not feeling well. He's got that injury that's going to be, you know, haunting him for a couple days, you know, a couple more games. And he wasn't feeling well, but he knew what it took to win the game. And Shea's out there saying, coach, get me back in the game. We're not going to win the game unless I'm out there, because they keep on coming back. And he was right, man. He needed to be out there, because the second that Shea went out there and they cut it to single digits, the second Shea went back out there, boom, the score went back up to 17 like that. Mm-hmm. And Shea didn't even do anything except for step on the floor.
Right.
And that's how good and how much Shea affects the game, because every single time Shea would go to the hole in the second half, he was immediately hit with three guys. And it's just like, okay, in the past, we've always been like, who else is going to step up? Who else is going to be able to do that? But the thing was that Shea was going downhill so hard, taking three guys away, leaving J-Dub wide open, and J-Dub would just take the ball and go straight downhill. Or he hit the four threes that he hit as well. Like, dude, he gets blocked one time, gets the ball, dunks it right on the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. What he is doing at this moment of his life, and what Shea is doing at this moment of his life, and what Josh Giddey is doing at this moment of his life, if these guys are stepping up like this in every single game, who's going to beat us? Who's going to be able to maintain this 130-point game per game scores? I don't know very many teams are going to be able to hang with us. But I think that we can average 130 points, 128 mm-hmm. points, 125. I'm sorry, 125 to 130 points the last 19 games of the season. I think we can do it, man.
And that's why we call it the three-headed monster, because you can shut down one, but you can't shut down all three. Other teams are in a jam. They were sending doubles like crazy at Shea. They were triple-teaming him. And we were finally in a spot where it was like, hey, Josh and J-Dub are playing so well off the ball, and they're taking advantage of these mismatches, that pick your poison, but you better start deciding, do you want to send the double from J-Dub's guy? Because if you do, you might be fucked. So, dude, that's what we love, man.
And think about it. Shea's getting doubled and triple teamed, and we had the best shooting night from three-point range from Josh Giddey, 4-for-6, J-Dub, 4-for-5, right? We had Osman Jang, 2-for-3. Isaiah Joe didn't shoot particularly well, but he shot 2-for-7 still. All because of the way they were collapsing on Shea, guys. And that's why it's so next level. Shea's not worried about the assist. He's worried about getting the ball to the open man and then letting the ball go around the horn to the person that's open. And I think looking at it and understanding that by him collapsing, taking two or three guys, you get Osman Jang open for a couple threes. You get J-Dub open for 3 or 4 threes. You get Josh Giddey open for 3 or 4 threes. And, you know, Dort went 0-for-6, man. But all of his shots, you know, was what happens when you try to shut down Shea and collapse. It's how this team is stepping up and how Coach D is coaching these guys to understand, hey, the collapse is happening. That's fine. Let the claps happen. What I want you to do is pass the ball. Because how many times have we seen Dort do it? In the past, we've seen Dort just take horrible shots when he gets to the lane. Just a horrible shot. Now, he gets to the lane, people collapse, and he's passing the ball back out. And it's flying around that horn like crazy to the open man. That's why this team is understanding what it takes to win. They're understanding how to take it to the next level. We talked about Shea taking it to the next level. We talked about J-Dub and Giddy understanding what it takes to get to the next gear. And I think this is a perfect example last night of seeing this team get to that next gear. Shea put him on his back, and he helped him get there. But J-Dub, man, he held his own, and Josh Giddy held his own. And it was a beautiful way of going out. And Usman Jang coming off the bench and having the 12 points in the 20 minutes that he played, it was crazy, man. Like, this young man, his shot is so pure, so beautiful. Everything is going to go so well with this team. It's insane. All we got to do is just sit back, let Sam Presti do his thing without critiquing him and being a total dickhole to him, and just understand that he is one of the smartest men to ever grace the NBA. And I think we were okay.
And we are okay. Hey guys, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next episode.